Well, tonight we were praying and talking this afternoon, and so Miss Pamela just asked if she could share tonight, and I said, "Awesome." So she's going to just share some things along the lines of missions and along the lines of just whatever she wants to. I just told her that would be fantastic. So we're going to turn her loose and let her go and let God be God. She can just do whatever she needs to do. So go ahead, Pastor Pamela, come on. You're all on.
Oh, okay. Amen. My two fans were truly excited. Thank you. Well, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege it is to speak for you, to share your word. Lord, you knew each one that would be here tonight. And Father, I just pray that you just prepare for each listener, each one here tonight, God, a word just for them, that you would speak your heart, that they would hear your heart, that we would be stirred in our spirit. And God, that we would just hear clearly the word of the Lord. In your powerful name we pray, amen, amen. I want to read, first of all, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 11, a story I know we're all very familiar with. And I'm going to go ahead and just jump in because I want to read quite a bit of it. And I'll start with verse 1. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer. His name was Cornelius. He was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man. I said 10, didn't I? Oh, 10, sorry. I'm looking at 10, and I said 11. That takes a talent to be able to do that. All right, now that you're all with me in chapter 10, let's start again. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment, and he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And he gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. And one afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him and said, "Cornelius." And Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter, for he's staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." And as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants, who are a devout soldier, and one of his personal attendants. And he told them what had happened, and he sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray, and it was about noon. And he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. And then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish law has declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." And then the same vision was repeated 3 times, and then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Now Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? And just then, men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house, and standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I am the man you're looking for. Why have you come?" And they said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. But a holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." And so Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. And they arrived in Caesarea the following day, and Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and his close friends. And as Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him, but Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I am a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. And Peter told them, "You know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home and like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I no longer should think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came with an objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. And Cornelius 4 days ago said, I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good for you to come. Now we're all here waiting before God to hear the message that the Lord has given you. And so Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. For in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And so he continues to go on, and let's just read a couple more here. He says, you know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and then Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. So he continues to preach this message, and the Holy Spirit fell in the house, and it says that they began to be baptized. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's pick it up in verse 44. Now, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on these Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they've received the Holy Spirit as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. This is such an incredible story. I love this story. And, you know, God is still working like this. Jesus is still working like this in the nations. We had a brother, Stan, that was here just a couple weeks ago that was sharing with us about these unreached, people groups. And I asked him, I said, well, tell me about these why are they unreached? And I'm like, I think I already knew the answer. I'm like, is it because it's dangerous where they're at? Yes, it's because they're dangerous. It's dangerous, you know, to go into these areas. The enemy's locked it up, you know, so that it's a very dangerous assignment to go in and try to share the gospel in China, in Muslim countries. And so in countries like in Muslim countries, you know, Jesus has appeared to them, and angels have appeared just as it did with Cornelius here, and have told them, you know, go see so and so in the market. He's wearing a red shirt at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Ask him about the message or something. You know, I don't have any stories here to give with you, but I have books of a lot of these testimonies. They're powerful, and so. But the gospel message was never given to an angel to preach. It's been given to you and me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself doesn't even go and preach the gospel. He's given the assignment that we are the ones called to go into the nations, called to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through the body of Christ that he wants to do this. And I love this because in this story I want you to see that several things are happening here. For one, there's a man who's very religious. Cornelius is a very religious man, but he didn't have the key that he needed, which is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. He needed to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And so Cornelius, even though he was a religious man, even though he gave alms, he gave gifts and to God, he needed that missing factor, which was Jesus. And I love that God so loved this man that he sends an angel. He gets a connection, a divine connection, and says, I want you to send men to such and such place and ask for such and such man, Simon, and he's going to share the message with you. And so, you know, there's people out there hungry and needing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember, I'm going to share quite a few little stories of my own life tonight with you. But I remember one time
I had a dream, and in my dream, I was at this banquet, and there was, you know, it was like a big restaurant, and everybody's eating, and they're all, everybody's just like, you know, eating away, and I kept hearing this knocking, and I'm like, what in the world? And it just was this really loud knocking. And so I went, and it kind of looked like this over here, but they were doors that opened, windows that opened. And so I heard this knocking was coming through one of these windows. And so I went over and I opened it. And when I opened it, there was a man and a woman. He had like a hat on his head, and they were praying. And so when I opened it, they looked at me and I looked at them, and they were shocked, you know, shocked that I'm the one probably that responded to the door, the window being open. And I never forgot that. I thought, Lord, you know, what does this mean? And I believe it's, you know, well, one, I love to pray. I love to intercede, right? So I know that in intercession, we pray for people, we pray for nations, we pray for, you know, people like this. I can be praying in the spirit for them. And I believe God opens opportunities for us to begin to pray for people in intercession over nations, over people in nations, and, you know, over missionaries. And so we, you know, I believe that that was one thing the Lord was showing me. But I believe that, you know, we need to realize that there are people who are needing and wanting and praying, God, send me the message, send me a messenger, you know, send me the truth. And, you know, and so that's why this story is just, it's so impactful to me that you can still be hungry, still be doing the right things, but missing Jesus. Jesus is that connection that this man needed for him and his family. He needed to hear about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, who came and died for all nations. You know, it reminds me of the class, you know, that I had here teaching about, you know, we were talking about Noah's Ark, and we got past Noah's Ark, and we talked about the Tower of Babel. And in the Tower of Babel, when we got there, we talked about how there the nations were created, because it was from there that all the, you know, man, God came down and confused the languages of mankind. And so nations were born, and they were, you know, sent across the world. And if you backtrack that, if you rewind that tape, every nation out there comes from the Tower of Babel, which comes back to Noah's Ark. And so we all start, which goes back to Adam and Eve. So we all started at the right point. But as, you know, as mankind began to go, you know, and rebel against God. And of course, God judged the earth with the days of Noah. And then at the Tower of Babel, God judged again, and he scattered them and made nations. It doesn't matter, you know, what nations out there that's so primitive, that seems so, you know, so unlost, they are still a child that goes back to the days of Noah. That they're still the one that heard about the true God. You know, that they've come so far from the truth. And that's why, you know, there's so many parallel stories in a lot of different religions about Noah's Ark and a tower and all these different stories. But I want to say that to tell you that that's why it's our job to share the gospel with the nations, because we are all the children of God. And the enemy has come in, and he has, you know, in some nations are darker than others. I mean, in your, you know, look at Africa. I mean, there's such a dark, magical type, right? You know, voodoo and all this stuff. Very, very, very dark. And so you can see how depraved man became. You can see how it really affected the culture and really affected, you know, the heaviness over this nation. And so, I love that God has given us a commission. He's commissioned, you know, not just the missionaries. We're all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was just sharing with my husband, you know, here I was just kind of, just thinking about my life as growing up. You know, I've always looking for opportunities to share Christ with people. You know, when I was, you know, in high school, I started a Bible study in our two lunches, and the Lord, you know, opened the door so I could share Christ, you know, to one group, you know, have a Bible study who wanted to come for the first lunch and the second lunch. And you know, and then we would do street witnessing. You know, I love that. I remember leading a prostitute to Christ. I've shared this story before. I remember one night we always had to go in pairs. And we went up, remember cruising streets? You could cruise. the good old days, woo, you know. You'd be cruising, and so we were sharing, you know, with the young teens about Christ. Of course, I was a young teen. And I got into this one group area where there was all these young guys, and they were drinking. And so they separated me and my partner, who was a guy, and they surrounded me, and they started harassing me. And the Holy Spirit just anointed me, and I took that track, and I'm shoving it in their pockets, and I'm going around the circle, and I'm saying, you're too drunk to understand a word that I'm saying, but I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you're going to read this track, and the power of God's going to come upon you. And they didn't know what hit them, you know. They just kind of shook and kind of backed off and said, okay, okay. And, you know, I just... Again, I give God the glory, but, you know, the leader of that pack became a born-again Christian and is a pastor today. You know, you just never know. And, you know, I started a women's ministry at the Waffle Shop in Lodi one time. You know, I wasn't pastoring. I just had a heart to share Christ with people. So I invited my neighbors. I started a Kids for Christ club in my garage for the neighborhood kids. You know, I started a prayer group in my apartment. I started a prayer group in downtown Lodi at the Hotel Lodi, praying for revival. I mean, I have a heart to do something for Christ outside of the four walls. And so, you know, that's my heart that tonight that you would get encouraged and stirred and start to think creatively. God, how can I share Christ? What can I do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I love our little, you know, convalescent home ladies right here that go and share Christ, you know, laying hands on the sick. I mean, they're not just sharing a little Jesus. They're wanting to come out of wheelchairs. They're wanting blind eyes to be opened. Come on, Andrea and Ruth, they're preaching the gospel. I did that ministry too. I know. Yes. Let's give them a hand. I love convalescent home ministries. You know, I sometimes miss doing these things, you know, because there's such a joy in sharing the gospel with people. You know, when you go in the grocery stores, wherever you may be, the opportunities that you get, you know, God knows that those that are hungering and thirsting, and that's the key that I want to share with you is that, you know, we want to share the gospel with everybody, but Jesus said, let him who is thirsty come. Let him who is hungry come. So there are hungry ones. There are thirsty ones. Those are the ones you want to go after. The ones that are showing a spiritual desire and a spiritual hunger, those are the ones that God's going to open the door for us to minister to. And so I want to share my missionary story. And, you know, I felt led to share this tonight to... It has some funny stories in it, but it also has some practical applications. Back in, I believe it was 2002, I was asked to go to the Philippines. And I know we have, how many are from the Philippines here? Yeah. Marjorie. I love Marjorie. I love the Philippines. I got asked to go, and I was terrified to go. I was, and I'll tell you why I was terrified to go, is that in 2001, for a whole year, maybe you'll remember this couple, they were Martin and Gracia Burnham, and they were missionaries that were kidnapped in the Philippines on their wedding anniversary, and on June 7th, 2002, they were trying to rescue him, and he got killed, and she got injured, and we were going to go the next month. And so I was just, and that's, you know, the whole 9/11 thing just happened. So terrorism is a big thing at this point. And so I was really like, I was really scared. I was a mom with young children, and I wasn't really sure that that's something that I wanted to do. And we did a women's retreat, and they were praying, you know, they were praying for the women who were going to, because it's a group of women that were going to go do a women's conference in the Philippines. And so I was still kind of hesitant. I wasn't fully in. I'm like, okay, I'm not really sure because I'm not ready to be a martyr, you know. and so I'm just praying. Okay, God, I'm not. I don't know about this. And so as soon as they laid their hands on us and they began to pray, I had this open vision, and I saw before me. I saw a long white table, and I saw empty plates, and I saw little faces face towards me, just just a long table, and the Lord spoke to me and said, the Filipino people are hungry, and they're ready to receive and hear the word of the Lord. Will you go? And so I was like, man, when you see something like that, I'm like, yes, you know, yes, God, I'm going to go. And so, we get on the plane and we land in the Philippines, and they lost my luggage on that flight. And as soon as you get off the plane, it was like so hot. Like I had never been in humidity in my life, and I was in a full sweat outfit and I thought I was going to die, and I had nothing to change into. So we get to the place where we're going to stay, and it was Pastor C.R. and Hosanna Cortez. And they had a beautiful ministry there for deaf mute children that were orphans that came, and they had a Bible college, and he had just beautiful, beautiful Christians. And so there was about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess about 5 or 6 of us women that had come to speak at this conference. And I was the youngest and the most insignificant of the group. Okay. And so when you're passing out the rooms, you know, I had picked this one room. I thought, okay, well, I'll just pick this room. This room looks like a good one. And a couple of these women there who were more significant in their own eyes, for sure, you know, they ran me out of that room and said, oh, no, we were supposed to have this room. You can go into this room. And so I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll just go into this room. And then I realized that when I got into that room, it's because there was just a plank with a little foam pad and a fan, and the room I had just was in had an air conditioning and a full bed. And so I'm like going, oh, these are Christians, Lord, but okay, you know, I'm gonna be humble, choose to be humble right now. And so I sit on that plank and I'm just trying to be Christian, right? I'm trying to keep I'm tired. It's like, I think it was a 14-hour, is it a 14-hour flight to there? And so, any rate, God's revenge is wonderful, and this is a really important part of the testimony, because in that room was a spider the size of my hand, and I just remember waking up, all of us in the encampment waking up to screams, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you, Satan, and you could hear things hitting the walls, and we're like, what is going on, and they're throwing shoes and everything, rebuking the, and then one lady's going, you're the minister, you cast the thing out, tell it to go in Jesus' name. And we're just busting up laughing, and I'm in my room just going, hallelujah, God is good, you know, oh, God is wonderful. Sorry, that's just a little side note, but I slept like a baby where I slept really great. You know, you get used to geckos climbing on the walls and you kind of appreciate them because, you know, then you find out what kind of bugs are else climbing on the walls. You're like, come on, gecko, go get them, lizard, you know, but it was wonderful. And so I remember that it was my time to speak in the service. And so when I got up to share Christ, of course, the demoniac had to manifest when I got up to speak. And so she's coming down straight at me, you know, I'm going to kill you. And I'm just like, I was trying to think, okay, who did what? What? And you try to remember every ministry you've ever watched. Okay, how am I supposed to handle this? And so I remembered someone saying that demons always tried to interrupt Jesus when he was ministering. So, you know, and I thought, okay, well, Satan, you're not going to interrupt what's being said. So I just said, hey, would someone take her and go pray with her? And so they did, and she was set free, and she is in the ministry today as well. But there was a group of young men in the back, and they were laughing, and there's several hundred people there, but they were just acting up. And so, again, the anointing of the Holy Spirit hit me, and I began to speak to the young men in the back. I said, you know, I just began to speak a word of knowledge towards them, and, you know, and I just left it at that. And, you know, later, towards the end, when we were going to, everyone that got saved, we were going to do a water baptism. And so I'll try to go back. I'm going to probably jump all over this, but I was like researching about the water in the Philippines, and I was like, you know, I was a little scared to get in that water. And so I told my friend Sandy, she had an open cut, and I said, Sandy, don't get in that water because you're going to get an infection. I had her scared to death. And I go, You know, we'll let someone else do the water baptisms and we'll sit on the side, you know, just praying the anointing. And so we show up at the, you know, it's a really dirty river. I don't know which one it was, but you know, they had the caribou, everybody was walking through it and, you know, and they kind of ran them off so we could do the water baptism. And we're just looking around and we're waiting for the rest of the group to show up and no one, they got lost. And I thought, God, you have such a great sense of humor. So me and Sandy had to get in that water. Sandy Swanson, if you know her, we had to get into the water and we had to do this water baptism. We had never baptized a soul in our life. We had no idea what we were doing. So the first one, we're like, in the name of Jesus, we're pushing them down. And, you know, and the man goes, you know, it's usually if you lead them down, they'll usually pop back up. It's okay. You don't, because we're like trying to pull them out of the water. And before long, I mean, we're up this deep in the water. We're up here trying to baptize. And so it was like the funniest thing ever. And lo and behold, here comes that group of young guys. They had got saved at that meeting. And so had the privilege to baptize these young men. And they went into Bible school and they became ministers as well in the Philippines. And so, praise God, you know, we didn't drown them. Thank God. You know, that could have been a possible thing, but it was amazing. You know, when we went from there, I was still kind of guarded because of, you know, what had happened to these, you know, like I said, these missionaries that had gone into the Philippines. And I was still a little checked in my spirit. And so Pastor Cortez said, you know, we're going to go up into the higher up here, up in the Santa Ana area. And then we're going to go out into the, you know, the real jungle area where is more of the, you know, indigenous tribes. And so I'm thinking, okay, that sounds, you know, I don't really know what's happening. So again, I'm the insignificant one, just kind of following along everybody. And we were in two cars and it was a long drive to get there on these bumpy, dirty roads. And then we stopped and we're sitting in our cars. And then you'd see come out of nowhere, you'd see these men come in full camouflage. So it was a communist stops. You know, we were making these stops on this. You'd never see them. You wouldn't if you didn't know they were there, but you had to stop and they had to look at our passports and get, you know. Pretty soon they came and got me and put me in the front car with them. Thank the Lord. But I still had no clue what was going on. And then, you know, it was later brought to my attention that during this process that there had just been a group that had been killed. There was a group that was killed in this region, you know, and we were the first group to follow in after that group. And we were the first American white women to come into that area. And so, you know, my guard's getting a little higher and higher and higher. And of course we stopped and we had fried chicken on the side of the road. Why? I don't know, but I was not hungry for chicken. I'm like, let's get in the car and just get going. It was amazing. Once we got to the first indigenous tribe, you know, they actually had to borrow some clothing so that they wouldn't, you know, offend us. And so we brought, you know, my church, we had brought money and food to, you know, help, you know, we brought bags of beans and rice and money to help, you know, help with everybody there. And they were started to do their dance. And so me and Sandy thought it might be fun if we go out there and start dancing with them. And so pretty soon we're with the chief and we're dancing. And I remember telling her, I go, wouldn't it be funny if we're doing the, you know, let's get married dance right now. And we're really married to the chief there. I don't know. And they were just, it was so precious. And so that was a great experience. And they said, okay, we're going to go up even deeper into the jungle. We're going to the next tribe. And so we went to the next tribe. And this one was really, it was interesting because, I mean, we're talking huts, we're talking no shoes, we're talking very, you know, indigenous. They're very small. It was a very small tribe. And I found out, you know, through the course of conversation this was a headhunting, headhunting tribe. And so to become the chief of the headhunter, yeah, let's all laugh at that one. The chief of the headhunter tribe meant that you had more heads than other people. So I had braces on at the time, you know, and I thought, man, I'd be a really cool head with these braces hanging out, you know, could just swing me around. And but it was, you know, it was, you know, it was interesting just to see how, you know, not modern this place was, right? How back in, I mean, it's like we're talking, you talk about tribes. I mean, you're talking about this is a tribe that has, you know, no running water, no bathrooms, no, I mean, it's just very, very backward, you know, to what we would say is today. And so Pastor Cortez comes up to me and he says, I feel like you need to speak to this tribe. And I'm thinking, good Lord, what am I going to say to this tribe? You know, I've lived in Little Lodi my whole life. I don't even know what to say to this tribe. And so, I mean, I began to pray. I'm like, God, I don't know what to say because I felt like even the Bible was more modern than how they are. And how would I get them to relate to anything that I was lost. And I was like, God, I don't even know what to pray or to say to them. And so the Holy Spirit, thank God for the comforter, right? Thank God for our teacher. Thank God for our helper, because he drew my attention over to a young girl who's probably, maybe she's about 9, and she's holding a little baby, and she's, you know, holding this child. And matter of fact, I noticed there was quite a few children holding children. And the Lord says, I want you to talk about their children, and I want you to talk about my child. And so I just began the whole story with, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son, his child, and so that his child could take away sin and sickness and disease. And I just began to share the gospel through Jesus as a child. And I said, God so loved your children. That's why he gave his child, was for your children, so that your children could live. And you know, not really knowing what I'm saying, I just spoke in the, you know, as simplistic as I could get this message out. Their faces were just as stoic as you could think. I mean, I just looked like there was zero impact. And I'm going, well, okay, amen. I just must have really messed this one up. And when I got back to here in Lodi, Pastor Cortez, he came to our church and he brought pictures and he brought testimonies. And he shared about that time. You know, he said when I shared there that there was some communist commandos, because they were in their Jeep listening. They, you know, they're going to listen to everything that we're saying. And so, you know, everything's was being brought to the attention of the ones in authority in that area. And so one of the communist commandos gave his heart to Jesus while listening in the Jeep. And then the chief gave his heart to the Lord. And so the whole tribe came to Christ. And it was because I talked about their children. Because what I didn't know is that these children were getting infectious diseases. And so they're having to take their children and go put them, you know, they couldn't do anything for them. So they would take them deep into the forest and put them by a tree and leave them and let them die because they didn't have anything else to do. So when they heard that there's a man named Jesus that wants to save their children from death, then they wanted this Jesus because they wanted to save their children. And so, so that was incredible. And, back at the women's conference too, another, again, I didn't know this until Pastor Cortez came and shared the stories later. The day that I had spoke, you know, what was so humbling is that when you went to pray with these, you know, with these beautiful people, it was as though you were Jesus to them. I mean, they wanted to touch you. They wanted to take their hand and put their hand exactly where their problem was. I mean, and so they're grabbing your hands, and it was kind of intimidating. I mean, like almost overwhelming, like, because you're just this, you're being grabbed and pulled. And so I found out later, and he had it documented, that there was a communist nurse that was there. She was scheduled for surgery the next day to have a tumor removed, a cancerous tumor inside of her womb. And so she, that night, she took my hand. She put my hand apparently wherever the tumor was. And we, you know, I didn't know. I don't know anything's going on. Only Jesus, right? And so, and their faith, the faith that she was reaching out. The power of God touched her as she walked out of the room. The tumor fell out. She went into the restroom and it came out completely in the restroom. And so she had the whole thing documented, the healing. And I say this to say that someone like me that had no clue really what I was doing, But I had a heart. I had the heart. I wanted to, you know, I was willing to go into this region and to, you know, share Christ the best that I knew how to. And God did such wonderful things beyond my expectation. And the fruits of it, you know, it still blesses me. And, you know, I want to encourage you that, you know, when God opens a door for you, you know, a lot of times we do not feel that we are, you know, complete for the job. Like, again, I was the bottom of the totem pole. I wasn't the superstar to be, you know, ooh, Pam's here. No, Pam who is here. And I wasn't looking to be seen. I was, you know, God opened the doors for me to do ministry. And I was so thankful when he did. And I felt a lot of times unqualified, right? I really didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel good in the sense that I was miserably so hot. I mean, I was so bad that I was in the mornings, I'm taking a shower, putting my hair in a scrunchie, getting soaking wet and wearing no makeup because it's not going to be on your face in an hour anyway. And just, you know, going for it, you know. And I was so impressed by the Filipino people, because when they came to church, they were completely dressed to the T. They were in suits. They were, I mean, and they were giving it their all. I'm up here dying because it's so hot, and they're jumping and shouting and dancing. And, you know, they would get up, you know, like really early, early in the morning, you know, we would get up and they would have already swept the whole complex. You know, the whole compound is dirt, but the dirt was swept. Like, everything was organized and clean. I mean, they fed us, you know, we found out later, I mean, they're giving us their last little chickens. And I mean, it was just, it would break your heart. Like, when, you know, so we gave them a lot of money to replenish things, but it was just, it was humbling to see that they were giving us all that they had. And I remember I had a CD that had just come out at the time. And so the pastor's daughter, she took it. She had a radio program. So she says, come on, we're going to put you on the radio. And so so I went to the studio and she's playing my CD. And, you know, and I'm looking at her equipment and I'm about to cry, because we're talking, it is like stuff you would find in the dump or at a Goodwill. I mean, broken things taped together, and, you know, and here she is using what she had to preach the gospel. And, you know, and people were getting ministered. And again, I was like, gosh, Lord, it's just so awesome. It's the nothing was stopping them. And they were just such hearts for Jesus. You would go into the public schools and I mean, they knew English better than I did, these kids, you know, and they were, you know, they were opening in prayer. They let us pray for the children. It was just the most blessed opportunity I'll never forget. But I came back, you know, just so humbled, like, gosh, Lord, forgive me for thinking I need this just right, and I need that temple. I need the temperature right in the church. You know, I need enough cushion in my seat. I mean, they didn't care about any of that. You know, they came with such hunger, and even though the servants didn't really know what they were doing all the time, their faith connected to the power of God within us, and they received what they needed to receive. Amen. And you know, and so it's exciting. So, you know, I remember a story too. One of the ladies, she sold her pig just so that she could catch the bus to come to the meeting. I'm thinking, man, that's like her livelihood. That's like food for her family, you know. And, you know, what sacrifices do we make to go to church? You know, what do we have to sell to come to church tonight? You know, what? Thank God they got the air conditioner working, because it's really hot out there. You know, what if we had to have church outside? Would you still show up? I mean, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. You know, I loved what Stan told us when he was here, when he talked about the quote from Billy Graham, that the church has become so center-focused, we're not outward-focused. We're so worried and we're so focused about building our own that we've lost touch with going outward. And that so convicted me. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to be trying to just so inward-focused that we're forgetting that there's a world that's dying out there. and that there's Corneliuses, right? The story we just read. There's Corneliuses out there praying, you know, they're praying, and God is waiting for someone that he can send with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, you may feel unprepared. You may feel like you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, if you have a heart for Jesus, God is going to open the door. Recently, I was with my mom, and we were at the beach, and we were watching this man. He had these sticks, and he's doing these, like, sticks movements, you know. Look, then he was doing some Tai Chi, and so we're sitting there eating some apple turnovers, watching him, you know, do his Tai Chi. True confession. And right there on the beach, and so my mom, you know, we decide we're gonna get out and kind of walk, and she goes up to that man, and of course she asks, "What are those sticks?" And so we proceeded to hear about a 30-minute, you know, story about what these sticks were, and so, you know, he's breaking the fascia down, and he's, you know, doing some exercises for his, because then he starts going in New Age, you know. He says, because of the chi in him, we know we're all water and we're connected to the water. And I mean, I'm just like following him all over this, you know, trying to, you know, I'm listening for an open door. I'm thinking, okay, wait, I'm going to listen for the opportunity to share Christ here. And so then he said, you know, he said, well, he's Jewish, ma'am. And so I'm like, so our ears are perking there, because I'm thinking, okay, ooh, that's a good launch pad right there. And so, but I still didn't feel the door open for me to say anything. But my sweet little mama, she just began to give that man the gospel, and she was like learning. If you're watching this, mom, I should have showed the video of you doing she was doing the exercises with the guy, and she's like making faces at me like, oh my gosh. And it was so sweet. She's so cute. And I'm busting up laughing, and, you know, because he's talking about her chi and everything. And so she's waiting for that moment, and she starts sharing, you know, about Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus was a Jewish man, and, you know, and she just began to share Jesus. But so he asks my mom, you know, how old are you? And mom proceeds to tell her age. I won't say it, mom. And so he goes, well, you're older than me. But he looked like Moses. He had the long white beard. So here's my spiritual moment of an open door. I go, wow, you know what? Now you remind me of Moses with his stick. Like, can you part the waters? You know, like, that was my spiritual, you know, speaking Christ to this man. But my sweet little mama proceeds to give the gospel to this man, and lets him know how much Jesus loves him, and you know, how we love Israel. We're praying for Israel, and, you know, and he was so kind to her. He says, you know, I receive what you're saying. He goes, I know about Jesus, and I know, you know. She goes, well, Jesus said, you know, my Father and I are one, because he kept talking about the God with no name, you know, because Jewish can't mention the name. He's Hashem. They can't say his name. And so mom says, but I know his name. His name is Jesus. It was awesome. And so he's, I know, way to go, mom. I was so proud of her. And so she's letting him know who his name is. His name is Jesus. And he received, he goes, well, I received that. And so, you know, we didn't know, but I know that made my mom feel so good to be able to share the gospel with this Jewish man on, you know, and me, I got to tell him that he looked like Moses out there getting ready to part the sea, you know. I had that real spiritual moment right there. But, you know, we look for opportunities, and you listen to people's stories. I think the greatest way for us to share the gospel is to listen to people, you know, listen to what they're going through, you know, let them kind of share their story a little bit, you know, don't just dive down their throat with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we wait for the opportunity, and, you know, when God opens that door, when we feel the Holy Spirit opening that door, I mean, you can't run through that door fast enough. It's just the words begin to flow from you, the message and the love of Jesus Christ. And really, that's what it is. And matter of fact, I'm going to go back to that, because this is what, his name's Arthur. This is what Arthur said. He said, there's something about you two. He said, there's just something about your spirit. And we're saying, yes, it's Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. And I love that, because Pastor Mark and I recently were in Washington, D.C., and we were talking to another couple that was Jewish, and they were non-believers, and we just connected, and they said, man, there's something about you two. And again, it's Jesus in us. And you know, we didn't have to shove Jesus down their throat. We let the love of Jesus, they knew we were Christians. They knew where we stood. And matter of fact, that couple, what was so fun about that is their little eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I was wearing this necklace I'm wearing right now. And my husband got this for me for our anniversary. And I just love it because this is a replica of a bell that they found in Israel in a drainage ditch in old Israel. And they believe it to be one of the bells from the high priest that fell in. And so I love anything on the tabernacle, anything about the high priest. I love it. And so it doesn't have a ding, ding, ding in it, unfortunately. But I was sharing with them about this bell, you know, about the high priest, and he can go in, and how I said, that's how Jesus is. You know, he's in there. We can hear him interceding for us. And, you know, and it was so much fun. It was fun not to be forcing it, but just sharing, letting my light shine and letting them know that, hey, you know, hey, I do Passover too. I teach it at our church. I did it with my kids. And they go, you do? I go, yeah. I go, it's amazing, isn't it? What God did to protect by the blood of the lamb, you know, and you just sow the seeds. The Bible says that one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. You know, we don't have to plant. Where is it to grow? Pour the water on it. I mean, sometimes we are just the seed sower. Sometimes we're the one just sowing. Are you guys must have no a story down there. You must have a story. That's an awful lot of laughing. You know how they say the guilty dog barks the loudest? I'm not sure if that's how you say that, but it's something like that. Anyway, but you know, we've all tried to force that seed, you know, force a seed into the ground, or we've tried to, you know, we get frustrated when it's not growing and we keep speaking and we don't see any change in that person's life. And we're thinking, oh, you know, one sows, one is going to, you know, it's going to water. They're going to be the one that God's going to bring someone else to water the seed. You know, we're not expected to do it all, but God's the one who brings the increase. Amen. It's not my responsibility to bring the fruit of Jesus in your life. It's not my responsibility to see the Christ develop in your life. Man, Pastor Mark and I, we're going to preach the word. We're going to sow the seed. He may be sowing. I may be watering. I'm going to be splashing as much as I can at you. Get the water hose, you know, on some of you. Drown you with that. No, I won't. But God's going to bring that increase. Amen. And so however God chooses to use you, just ask him, God, I know. And that's what you can say each morning. God, what can I do today? God, how can you use me today? Like I said, I started a ministry in my garage. I started one in my apartment. I started one in high school. I started one, you know, I always started something, you know, at the hotel, at a waffle shop. You know, I looked for places that I could connect with people. And so, you know, I love your mom, you know, Miss Yolanda. I love that she's preaching and teaching your family. How many come to that now? Like 12 of Miss Yolanda's family is meeting, and she's teaching them, her family. I mean, it is beautiful. Her son is here, and I believe your wife. Yeah, okay. And so, you know, what a beautiful thing. You know, she's just wanted to start a Bible study with her children. You know, we did that with my kids, although Summer, we've got a little backed off of it, but we started, my kids don't come here. So I thought, how can I want to, you know, I speak into the lives of a lot of young moms, and I go, I want the opportunity to speak into the life of my daughters and my sons. And so we started a Zoom, and once a month we meet with my kids on Zoom, and we say, okay, what would you like to talk about tonight? You know, it's always a scripture, or, you know, we were doing the one word journal, and we're talking about, you know, okay, so let's talk about that. How does that look like? You know, what scripture could you help to support that? And so, you know, you always look for opportunities. Amen. You know, I don't just wait. I mean, I am that active gardener who's going to go by the seed. I'm going to buy the dirt that I need. I'm going to buy the pots that I need. And I'm going to have my little tools and my little gloves. And I'm going to get ready to plant some plants. Amen. And I'm not just going to wait for them just to pop up out of the ground. But I want to be active and busy about my Father's business. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you that that you want to use each one of us, God, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a day that we live in, having technology and social media and just everything that we have today, God. There's so much that we can do to be active ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, give us witty inventions. Help us to be creative in our skill sets. Help us, God, to be just purposeful in how we can be creative and how we can go and maybe start something in our home and with our neighbors, with, you know, our family. God, just help us to know, God, how to reach and to share the love of Jesus Christ. God, to be just to be a lighthouse everywhere we go in this world. God, let mission work begin in us. Let us be mission works leaders and missionaries right here in our homes, in our towns, in our schools, at our jobs. Father, we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. And Father, I do. I just pray right now. I ask that you would just, Lord, release an anointing right now, a creative gift right now, a creative anointing. Lord, you're going to give them wisdom. You're going to give them ideas. You're going to give them open doors of opportunity, Father. You're going to give them divine connections. God, right the right people, the right opportunity, Father, right now. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for making a way, Lord, where there seems to be no way, God. I thank you, God, that you take away intimidation. I come against every spirit of intimidation, every spirit of fear of man in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would just make us bold, God, to not have fear, to not be fearful, but to let the joy of the Lord be our strength, to let the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine so powerfully and so greatly through us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.